today for Jesus Christ. We thank you for his love. We thank you for the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to teach us. And we pray that he might quicken your word in our heart and our life, that we might be the kind of Christian you'd have us to be and glorify Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We've seen in this fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians that we didn't quite get through with last week that Paul is telling us that we are ambassadors for Christ. Every Christian is an ambassador. Now, an ambassador is one who represents a king in the country of another. As we pointed out last week, this world's not our home. We're just passing through. And we have a responsibility to the world. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that he's a debtor to the world, a debtor to give them the gospel. And so, as ambassadors and debtors, we have a debt to pay. We are to be a good representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And since we are here to do this, he has given us the power to do this, and that is when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, God, the Holy Spirit comes into our body to regenerate us and to remain or to abide there continually. He never leaves us. Once we trust Jesus as our Savior, he comes in to stay permanently. He comes in to indwell permanently within our bodies. Now, he not only indwells our bodies to give us guidance, but he also gives us strength. He tells us what he wants us to do, and I would say between 90-95% of everything that God wants you to do personally is contained in the Word of God. He's already written down his instructions to us as to what he wants us to do and how he wants us to act as ambassadors for him. And as we are to act in this certain way that Wyatt was talking about a while ago, not to be dry and dusty, not to be just sort of hanging on, but to be active and to be out in the world being this kind of testimony that he wants to be, being this ambassador representing our king in a foreign country. This world's not our home. We are just passing through. Won't be long till we be home. The battles will all be fought. We'll be up face to face with our king, the one we have been representing, and be there forever. And we saw last time that we are reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. And we mentioned that reconciliation has to do with the overall view of salvation. Now, I sort of in my mind took it for granted that everybody had been through our basic course that we have here on Sunday night, and they had gotten all those doctrines. I just sort of gave you a smattering of them. Now, if you'll notice, the back of your bulletin is blank, and if you don't have a pencil, maybe someone next to you or a pen, someone next to you has one that you can borrow from them, and you can write these things down, or either you can come on Sunday night. Have y'all in basics this time? No, that was next semester. Okay, after Christmas, you can get this. You may need it before then. You can get more details as far as these are concerned. I'm just going to give you a little better smattering than we gave you last week, and we're going to be complete in this thing as far as all the things that you need to know as far as reconciliation is concerned. This is very, very important. If you're going to understand how to explain Jesus Christ to somebody, how to be saved to somebody, you really need to know this. Now, you don't need to know all this to be saved. All you need to know is that Jesus Christ was God who took on flesh, who went to the cross and died in your place and paid for all your sin personally, just like you were the only person in the world. Jesus Christ was hanging there for you, and he died for every sin you have committed, you are committing, and you ever will commit. And when you trust him personally to be your Savior, and you rely completely upon him to save you, then you're saved. You have eternal life. When you die, you will not go to hell, but you will go to heaven. And you'll be up there with me and everybody else who's trusted Christ. You say, and I have trusted. And I am going to be there. Not because of anything I've done, but what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. He gets all the credit. I cannot get one single solitary ounce of credit for my eternal life and my going to heaven. Not one whit. All the credit goes to Jesus Christ because he paid it all. Now, that's all you need to understand, that Jesus died for you personally, was buried and rose again. And you trust Him, you have eternal life. But you see, that's just putting it in baby talk. That's just giving you the bare essentials. Not adding anything to it or not explaining what really happened. Because there are a myriad of things that did happen. And we're not going to explain it all this morning because we would miss lunch. We'd miss our afternoon snooze or whatever we do on Sunday afternoon. We'd miss supper tonight. And we'd also miss the night service tonight. And I wouldn't want you to miss tonight. I want you to be able to come back and see if I did all we needed to do. We couldn't. It would take all that time, but I'm going to give you sort of a bird's eye view of it and show you some of the things that you do need to understand. Now, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them. All right, we'll get them one at a time. So you can start writing. Now, we talked about last time redemption. Now, this is talking about reconciliation. Reconciliation is the overall view. Now, we're going to give you the outline or the details of reconciliation. Now, part of reconciliation is redemption. We are redeemed. Our sins have been paid for. You see, we have a problem. You have a real problem. I have a real problem. And that problem is sin. You see, we're all born in sin. And sin did our mothers conceive us. We're born alien and enemies of God. But Jesus Christ redeemed us. He purchased out of a slave market of sin and set us free. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 through 30, I mean 29 through 30, he tells about this. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, he talks about redemption. We're redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is a part, that is a section of reconciliation. Then there's the doctrine of expiation. You see, we have another problem. You see, the penalty must be paid. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He paid the penalty for sin. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, He tells about this. The purchase price is paid, and is paid in full. What's the purchase price for sin? What's the penalty for sin? Walking an aisle and joining a church. The penalty for sin is praying through and agonizing until finally God hears your prayer. Is that the penalty of sin? Or maybe doing a lot of good deeds as opposed to the bad deeds that you've done. No, there's only one penalty for sin, and that's what? Death. Separation from God. And Jesus Christ died in our place, and He paid the purchase price for our sin. So the penalty of sin is satisfied. And then there's the business of regeneration. We're all born on the wrong side of the track. Everybody's born on the wrong side of the track. We're born dead in sin. And we have to be born again. We have to be born from above. And I mentioned a moment ago, when we trust Jesus Christ our Savior, God the Holy Spirit comes inside our bodies. He regenerates us, and now a human spirit becomes alive. You see, when Adam sinned, he died spiritually. His spirit died. He was still had a soul and he still had a body. His body lasted for 940 years. His spirit died that day. The day Adam ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that very day his spirit died. He was separated from God. He could not communicate with God. He could not understand God any longer. He could not fellowship with God any longer. Why? He was dead. Now he needed to be regenerated. He needed to be born again. And the doctrine of regeneration. And John told Nicodemus, a very religious man, a man who knew the Bible, the Old Testament scriptures, had to be born again. He did a lot of good works. He prayed 3 long prayers every day, more than you do probably. Still lost. Why? He needed to be born again, Jesus told him. Well, that's all a part of reconciliation. See, this is all just a part. Now, we have 3 parts so far. Now, there's the doctrine of propitiation. You see, God's righteousness and God's justice has to be satisfied. God, as we pointed out last week, cannot wink at sin. He can't just overlook sin. It has to be paid for it completely, 100%. When Jesus Christ went to the cross And when Jesus Christ died there, God's righteousness was satisfied as far as payment for sin is concerned, because he says what? The wages of sin is death, and it's got to be paid for in full. Jesus Christ paid for it in full. God satisfied. His righteousness was satisfied. His justice was satisfied. His holiness was satisfied. Now, what's the problem? You've got to be satisfied. And when you become satisfied with what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, what happens to you? You're reconciled to God. You're regenerated. You're born again. You have your sin paid for. He has redeemed you. You're in the family of God. You're born again. You're saved. But you see, you've got to be satisfied. Now, God's already satisfied. And God will never be satisfied with anything that anybody else ever does. I don't care what it is. It makes no difference how sweetly Ellen Parks Dockery, I'll get it in a second. It doesn't matter how sweetly she sings, how beautiful she looks, and how well she smells. Make a movie, what kind of cologne she put on this morning. And how nice she might even be. It doesn't cut any ice with God at all. Do you know what God says when, if he looked down and saw her, do you know what he would say? The best she can do is just like filthy rags. Just like rags that are taken off of an open womb, open sore, wound. Excuse me. I blew that one. Just like it was taken off of an open sore. That's the best she can do. That's the best. But when God looked down and saw what Jesus Christ did, washed all that away, took it all away, and God is satisfied with that. God is satisfied with it. And that's what propitiation means in simple terms. God is satisfied. Are you satisfied with Jesus Christ? Are you completely and absolutely and unconditionally satisfied with his death as the payment for all your sins and to take care of all your problems? As far as your relationship to God is concerned, and you have trusted him and him alone for your salvation. Oh, listen, if people just understood this, if the world just understood that God is satisfied with Jesus Christ and only satisfied with him, that's the reason why in the Gospel of John he says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one can come to the Father but by me, Jesus says. You can't get there any other way. Buddha won't do it. Mohammed won't do it. No other person in all the world can ever do it. But Jesus did it. Jesus did it. All right? Then there's justification. Justification. You see? Man has minus righteousness. We're all unrighteous. We're all sinful. We're all born in a wicked, sinful, rebellious condition. And Jesus Christ, or God, can justify you when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. What does it mean to justify? It means to declare right even though you're wrong. Here we are, all wrong, all sinful. But God in Jesus Christ can declare you right because he's taken all your sin. And you've taken his righteousness. Also, there's the doctrine of imputation that we want to talk about in just a moment. You see, Jesus Christ took your sin in his own body when he died on the cross. That's the reason why he had to scream, my God, why have you forsaken me? But as he took my sin, when I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, God charges to my account, imputes to my account, deposits to my account the righteousness of God. I stand here this morning just as pure, just as clean, and just as white
as if I had never seen it all, even though I do every day. Because God charges to my account the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ when I put my faith in Him. Then there's our position. Our position. We are born in Adam. We are born alien from God. Our position is in Adam. When we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are placed into Christ. As he says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, we're in Him. As he says there in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, and being found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but the righteousness which is of God in Christ. You see, now all these things are talking about reconciliation. As we pointed out last time, and we put the little clock up there. I don't know if we still have it here or not. Here we go. This is God's standard here. And we've all sinned and come short of that standard. And it doesn't make any difference how far it is. We are out of tune with God. We're out of step with God. We're out of commission with God. But when we trust Jesus Christ, our Savior, if we're all the way around there, He brings us back to the standard and the norm. And we have a positive righteousness when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 20 of chapter 5. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ, substitute for Christ. Well, look at verse 19 first. I want one little thing we want to mentioned there, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespass on them, and hath committed, entrusted, deposited to us, to you, to me. He has trusted us the word of reconciliation. We need to be able to explain to people. Now, we just talked a little bit about each of these doctrines, and they will answer the question that people have when they don't understand how to be saved and how to go to heaven. Maybe a person who is right ready, and you know they realize they're lost, and they don't have any hang-ups at all whatsoever. They just want to trust Christ as Savior. They just want to be saved. They just want to go to heaven. And you can go there and you can show them John 3:16 and they can be saved. But not everybody's like that. There are people who have hang-ups. There are people who just don't understand. That's not sufficient for them. They want more information than that. So to be able to give them that information, you need to know these seven things that we just got through talking about. You need to go further with them and be able to explain these things to them. That's the reason why in our personal evangelism we go into more detail even than we did here. And I believe they're teaching personal evangelism now, aren't they? Tonight, 6 o'clock. That's the reason why in the basic course, 6 o'clock next semester, we'll go into a lot more detail, and it'll take three weeks. 3 weeks what I have done here in 15 minutes or less. It'll take 3 hours to do that and give you all the details on these things. See? And it's very, very important for you to know these things. Now, we could take the 3 weeks or maybe take us 6 weeks to do it. But then those who are interested, we'll find out through these other courses that we have. But we do want you to be exposed to it, know the possibility that's there, know the responsibility that's there. Because God hath deposited to me, and God has deposited to you, this word of reconciliation, these seven doctrines that we're talking about here. Now then, we are ambassadors in substitute for Christ. As through God did beseech you by us, we beg you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Be brought back to this standard and back to this norm. Back to a righteousness that we have by faith in Jesus Christ. Notice verse 21. For He, God, hath made Him, Christ, who knew no sin. And the little illustration that we give so often, that this hand represents you or me or whoever we're talking about. And this red billfold represents our sin, because the Bible says, though our sins be as what? Scarlet. Sins are not black. Sins are scarlet. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? White as snow.
Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as what?
Wool.
Well, this hand represents you. This represents our sin. Now, there's no way in the world this little book could contain all the sins that I've done this past week, much less the past year and the past life. But we're going to represent that anyway. We'll let this hand reverently represent our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we're going to let this white card represent His goodness. Now, how good was He? Perfect. He knew no sin. Knew no sin at all whatsoever. And it says here, for He, God, hath made Christ who knew no sin, what? To become sin for us. When Jesus Christ was hanging there on that cross, He took all my sins in His own body and He died for them. Notice. Who knew no sin, He became sin for us that we might be made what? The righteousness of God. Now, how righteous is God? Perfect. When I trust Jesus Christ to have taken my sin and died in my place and be buried and rise again the third day, I trust Him. He gives me His righteousness. I'm reconciled. Brought back to the normal standard and have a positive righteousness from God because I'm in Him. I'm in Jesus Christ. My position has changed from being in Adam, which is lost and enemies and alien of God, to a son of God. And I'm in Christ. And if I'm in Him and I have a righteousness, when I get to the pearly gates, Peter's going to say, come on in. Because he'll see the righteousness that I have from Jesus Christ when I trusted Him as my Savior as a 19-year-old teenager. Never will forget the night I trusted Him. Never will forget it. And I've known I've had righteousness since then. I've known I'd go to heaven when I died since then. Not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus Christ did for me. Have you been found in Him? Are you in Christ? If you aren't, did you know that you can trust Him right now, right where you're sitting, right this minute? Now maybe you didn't understand all these seven things that we talked about a moment ago. I'm sure you didn't, because we just gave you a small bird's eye view of it, just explaining it hurriedly, just to expose you to the possibility so that you could investigate it further. And if you can't come to one of the classes at 6 o'clock, we'll be glad to sit down and talk to you and help you and explain these things to you in detail. Now, a lot of our people do understand these things, and they do know these things. In fact, we have some juniors back here in junior church. I'm talking about 12 years old and under who understand these things, because they go over these things over and over again, and possibly even some of the little kids in primary church in the White House back there that might even understand some of these things, because we talk to them about these kind of things. Well, they do. I don't, but they do. That's some of the things we explain to them. Now, I realize these are long words, and a lot of people get all hung up over them, and they think those 75-cent words, you know, you can't understand it. They even thought we couldn't understand it in seminary, and they didn't give them to us in seminary. I don't know what they thought. I guess they thought we was a bunch of the dummies or something. But you can. You can know these things, and God wants you to. And He wants you to know that you can have a righteousness and that you can be brought back to the standard and the norm of perfect righteousness, even though we are sinning every day. God loves us. Christ died for us to pay for our sin, to give us eternal life. Do you have it? Do you? Let's bow for prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed, all listen. Friends that are here today, oh, how we want you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior if you never have. Our visitors, we appreciate you coming today.
We appreciate you being here. We trust that this has helped you to understand what Jesus Christ did for you. I know we've thrown a lot at you today. If you're here for the first time, and it might be mind-boggling, but I want you to simply know that with all this, the thing that you really have to understand is that God does love you. And that when Jesus died, He paid for all your sin, and that eternal life is yours when you trust Him. Oh, how simple it is. The Bible says salvation is so simple even small children can understand and come to Jesus and trust Him as the Savior. There's not a small child here this morning. All of you are plenty old enough to understand that Jesus died for you. But the question is, have you trusted Him? Have you believed that He died in your place? Is eternal life yours? Oh, listen. Trust Him if you haven't. Because if you slip out of this old life into the next, not having been born again and trusting Jesus as your Savior, there'll be eternal separation from God. Oh, we wouldn't want that. I'm sure you wouldn't want that either. So trust Jesus Christ right now as your Savior. Father, we do thank You for eternal life. We thank You that we can know we're going to heaven. We thank You that we can know that we are reconciled to God by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray if there's one person here who's not satisfied with Christ's death as a payment for sin, we pray that the Holy Spirit will show them that this is the only way they can come to God, is to be satisfied with Christ and His payment that He made by dying on the cross and shedding His blood. His body was broken for us that we might be healed. Be reconciled to God. We pray that everybody here this morning might be reconciled to Jesus Christ by faith in Him. For it's in His precious name we pray.